Welcome back to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Jim Meadows, filling in for Celeste Quinn. Our technical director is Jason Croft. Our producer, Harriet Williamson. And in this hour of the Afternoon Magazine, our guest is Sarah Paretsky, who for the past several years has been writing mostly novels of mystery and mostly, almost entirely, novels about the Chicago detective V.I. Warchofsky. And her latest novel, number 10, if I have the count right, is called Total Recall, published last month by Delacorte Press. Sarah Paretsky, good afternoon and welcome to the Afternoon Magazine.
Hi, Jim.
Great to have you with us. Now, some people may have heard of this title as connected to an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, and I guess about the only thing that that movie and this book have in common is the theme of memory. And for Total Recall, for your novel, you looked at the I guess the controversy over recovered memory therapy. Could you tell me a little more about that?
Total Recall is, you're exactly right, Jim. It is about memory. It's really about the way in which the past haunts and can even come to destroy the present unless we're able somehow to come to terms with it. V.I. Warchofsky, my detective, has a longtime friend and mentor, really, a doctor named Lottie Herschel. Lottie was a child refugee herself in World War II. She went from Vienna to London. And that period in her life was so painful that she drew a line across the past. She's never talked about it. And then a guy who claims to have recovered memories of being a concentration camp survivor, a small child in a camp, comes forward. He starts stalking Lottie and some of her friends and claims to be part of one of her friends' families. And the eye is horrified as Lottie starts to unravel, and the book is really about what that's about. What is Lottie hiding, and who is the guy, and are his recovered memories reliable, and what can't people remember that they want to, and what can't they forget that they'd like to?
One of the things I found so striking about Total Recall, in comparison to the earlier V.I. Warchofsky novels, is the focus on Lottie Herschel, who is, a supporting character in the series. She's been there since the very first V.I. Warchofsky novel, and I believe Indemnity Only.
You're so right.
But in this case, in this book, so much of the emotional focus of the book is on Lottie Herschel, where in the past, I think, the emotional focus had been more on V.I. Warchofsky herself.
And I'm glad that you experienced it that way, because I tell the book mostly in V.I.'s voice, but I have six chapters out of, I think they're 52 altogether, that are told in Lottie's voice. And yet, to me, even though she only has a small handful of chapters, it really is her book, her story.
Well, I think it did make a difference in the book, and I notice, especially in the sort of addictive candy way I have of reading detective novels sometimes, when I'll read a bunch together, I've noticed really the in some of the books, what we were following was the procedure of working through the mystery from V.I. Warchofsky's viewpoint, which was everything as how am I going to do this and juggle all my other problems and keep contact with my friends, and how come I'm not a rich detective like the other people who focus on the corporate jobs. And all that seemed to fade away a little bit in Total Recall as we focused on Lottie Herschel's situation.
Yes, Lottie's struggle is really the focal point of this book. My own family in Europe was destroyed during the Holocaust, and I think it's always been something that I myself never wanted to think about or write about. Certainly my family was safe here in the United States. It's not anything I have firsthand experience of, but like many people of my generation, that past colored our upbringing and made us have this kind of uncertainty about the future that I think a lot of Americans are experiencing right now. And with Lottie, I had a way of very indirectly, but nonetheless, I was able to use her to kind of get at some of that emotional landscape that had been part of my childhood.
Was that a difficult area to go into as you wrote this novel?
In some ways, it was utterly absorbing. I in a way, I was drowning in Lottie's story. I finished the book in January, finished writing it, but I couldn't let go of her part of the story. I kept going back and reworking the chapters, and then I wanted to add more chapters. And there's a way in which it's hard to feel that a book is ever done. You always kind of feel like you're walking away from something that, well, David Remnick says books are never done, they're just abandoned. And I think he's right about that.
We're talking with Sarah Paretsky, the author of the V.I. Wachowski novels, and in particular, the latest one, Total Recall, just published last month by Delacorte Press. If you'd like to phone in with your questions here in the Afternoon Magazine, please do so. Locally, you can call 333-9455, area code 217, or you can call toll-free if you're listening from a few counties away at 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL. When you're approaching a novel, then I'm getting the impression that it's really the situation that the characters are in that comes to you first, and perhaps the mechanics of how you're going to plot the mystery comes later, or do they come at the same time for you?
No, you're absolutely right. The character in the situation comes first. Total Recall was a little bit different to write than most of my books. Usually I'm a lot more freewheeling. I'll go where the characters and the storyline is taking me. But with Total Recall, I knew where I had to end, and I had to keep it tightly wound around Lottie's story in the middle. So I kept trying different storylines. The version of the book that people will buy in stores is actually the seventh draft, my seventh effort to find a way of telling the story.
How different were some of the various drafts? Was it really a challenge finding a way to get everything together?
Yes, I started actually. VI has a friend, a lover who's a journalist. His name is Morel, and I started actually with an old girlfriend of his coming to town, and I started. The book, for people who don't know anything about it, Total Recall, the storyline is set a little bit around the issue of recovered memory, but the crime involves the issue of Holocaust, not reparations, but Holocaust assets, bank accounts, and life insurance policies that European banks and insurers have refused to give to beneficiaries, to survivors of the Holocaust, because these people can't present death certificates from the death camps for their parents and grandparents. So the storyline revolves around that theme, and also going along with it, the very vexed contemporary question of reparations for descendants of African American slavery here in this country. So it took me a long time to see that storyline would carry me through. I kept looking at things like hate crimes, and I had Morel, V.I.'s boyfriend, he has an old girlfriend who comes to town to do a story on hate crimes, and she and V.I. start mixing it up, and around about page 150, I saw I was getting further and further away from Lottie and Lottie's issues, so I had to drop that and go back and regroup.
Morel, I guess one thing that struck me about Morel is by the end of the book, he was still there. You introduced him in the previous Wachowski novel, Hard Time. And most of V.I. Wachowski's relationships haven't lasted that long. But is this one going to last?
That's my hope. And that's why I sent Morel to Afghanistan. Some people think that I was really prescient when I sent him over there. But my feeling is that when the detective has a lover who's hanging around and doesn't have anything to do with the story, that it kind of drags the story down. So I thought, well, Morel is a journalist. It's why I made him a journalist with a kind of an international beat. He's a little bit like maybe Lawrence Weschler, who does that for The New Yorker. And I thought, Afghanistan, that's really far away. If I send him there, then he and VI can send each other mournful emails about how much they miss each other, but he won't be just hanging around slowing down the story. And now, man, with the new book that I'm trying to get to work on, I'm thinking, now what do I do with Morrell?
And perhaps as a larger question, is simply, you know, the events of the last month and a half, the September 11th attacks and all the changes that's meant for this country and the world, that has to be affecting in big ways and small a lot of writers. And do you think that's going to affect, or do you know how that's going to affect your work?
Well, I am way behind in getting started on a new book, and I've just, like everybody, I've just been kind of, it's been hard to focus, it's been hard to feel that anything that I'm doing is important, but I was going back and looking at my notes on possible storylines that I'd been making over the course of the summer, and actually on July 6th, I was writing that Morrell would be bringing out, I said, Morrell comes back from Afghanistan with someone who is seeking asylum. This person was going to lead him to an exclusive interview with bin Laden, but turns out to be a terrorist. And I thought, oh, man, that is not a story I even am in the mood to write right now. So a lot of the things that I might have done are just, they're too close to the bone right now. And it is definitely changing how I'm thinking about story.
And so right now you couldn't really give a firm hint as to what the next V.I. Warchowski novel is going to be about.
I think it'll deal a little bit with some residue from the McCarthy era, some First Amendment issues, and some of I haven't started writing yet, but I'm making notes for the book, and that seems to be where I'm heading.
When did you first develop the V.I. Warchowski character, and how did she come to be?
I had wanted to have a woman detective for a long time before I actually started writing her. The first book was published January of 1982, so we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of V.I. But going back to the early 70s, I had been wanting to have a woman detective who kind of stood in contrast to people like Sam Spade and Philip Marlowe. In those books, women are either innocent kind of virginal creatures who are utterly unable to act, or they're like Bridget O'Shaughnessy. They reek of sex, as Chandler says of one of his women. And when you have a woman who reeks of sex, you know that she is up to no good. So it took me about 8 or 9 years of being, you know, not feeling confident in my voice and what I could do. And then one day I was working for CNA Insurance in downtown Chicago. For people who've been here and have always wondered what that red building was near the Art Institute, that was my home from home for a decade, CNA Insurance. And I was in a meeting one afternoon with a guy who was not the most wonderful manager who ever walked the face of the earth. And my lips were saying, you know, gosh, heck of an idea. And the balloon over my head was saying something unprintable, let alone unsayable on radio waves. And suddenly, really literally, VI came to me. I was thinking private thoughts on company time, and I thought, that's what I want, is not a detective like Sam Spade in drag, but a woman who was like me and my friends and doing a job that really didn't exist for women at that point in time and taking the guff that we all took, but she said what was in the balloon over her head because she didn't care whether she got fired or not.
There, I guess, and maybe the times or the genre has changed, that then there now is more detective fiction about women working as professional private detectives or police detectives. And I guess when you first started the character, women crime solvers tended to be more of the spunky little girls and little old ladies variety.
That's exactly right. I know that you're a fan, and also it's so nice to talk to someone who actually reads the books that he's talking about on the air. I really appreciate that. But it is true that Miss Marple was our role model for an adult woman detective, and There had been a couple of others. Marsha Muller had written one book in her Sharon McCone series in 1977, and of course, a lot of us enjoyed Kate Fansler, who was Carolyn Heilbrun's detective. But V.I. was really the first woman private investigator in modern books.
You mentioned that you used to work for CNA Insurance for several years, so you didn't spend all of your life as a writer, I take it.
Right.
How did you make the transition? When did you first start thinking of writing or trying to write with an intent toward getting published?
It was really with my first VI book, which I began working on in the fall of 78. And up to that point, I mean, I grew up always writing. I wrote stories when I was a little girl the way children do. I had princesses and unusual adventures. And then as I got older, I would write things that were my way, fiction, my way of trying to explore and come to terms with difficult situations in my personal life. But it wasn't, I just never thought of myself as someone who might actually write in public, so to speak. It took a long time for me to get there. And I think some of it was the women's movement that I'm 54. It was something in the 70s that helped me see that my insecurities were things that maybe said more about culture than they did about me personally. And I married a guy who's incredibly supportive, and he kept pushing me to try to do this. And all those things kind of came together.
Is there any advice that you would give now to someone who's starting out as a writer, the sort of advice you wish you had gotten at the time that might have sped things up?
I just think that you don't know when you're starting how good or bad or indifferent you are. And if you have something to say, that you should keep writing and keep trying to say it. There's a Chicago police officer who, he just sent me his first complete novel that's been accepted for publication. I've been knowing the guy for a long time. And his dream has always been to write crime fiction. And my heart kind of sank when he asked if I'd look at the book and give it a jacket blurb. So I said, sure. And then I read it and I thought, oh man, you know, you have really grown into your craft. And it's taken him a long time. It's taken him 10 or 15 years of taking writing classes and writing short stories in his spare time. And now he has an authentic voice and a polished style, and he's got something to say. And I would just say, however long that journey takes you, if it's in you to write, keep writing.
So it sounds like patience and diligence have a lot to do with it.
That's right, and it's not work that you toss off. There's a Pulitzer Prize winning poet named Mary Oliver, who has a book called Handbook of Poetry. It's a sort of a beginning book for poets, but when I teach writing, I always use it because I think she has a lot to say to all writers, not just poets. And she talks about that students think that poetry is an act of genius, and you toss it off, and it's not a genius creation if you have to go back and rewrite it. But she says that's just the beginning. And her poems, which are really beautiful poetry about nature, unusual in today's poetry world, but she says many of them have been rewritten 20 or 30 times, and it's patience, it's being there, it's keeping your butt on the chair, to be frank, which is a hard thing to do. That's what I find, is that I'm sitting looking at the blinking cursor, and I'm thinking, oh boy, I bet if I used a toothbrush, I could get that mold away from the bathtub. Stuff that you just would never do in a million years begins to seem like the most important thing. So you have to really discipline yourself to keep in the chair and keep working.
You live in Chicago, as does V.I. Warchowski. Are you a native of the area?
No, I grew up in eastern Kansas. I went to a two-room country school, and actually I played third base for their baseball team so badly that I'm surprised the Cubs haven't recruited me. But I came to Chicago in 1966 to do community service work that summer, and the city really got into my blood. And when I graduated from college a year later and didn't know what to do, I moved back here.
Chicago, there's an awful lot of Chicago in your novels. I take it, it sounds like you've really developed a deep love just for the locale.
Well, the summer of 66 that I came here was an incredibly intense time in the city. I was working for the Presbytery of Chicago, has something that they call summer in service, and they were looking for college volunteers to do community work. And I got assigned to a program on the city's southwest side, which was very near where Martin Luther King came that summer for his marches for open housing and economic justice. I have to say, the minister who ran the program I worked for, I have never worked for such a good manager in all the years that I spent afterwards in corporate life. And we were very involved in every aspect of the community and of the city. And it's just a place where I came of age and where I started really learning about being an adult in a complicated world. You know, the things are not the simple right and wrong that so many of us thought back then. Oh, we thought, you know, we know what the world's problems are and we'll fix them because nobody else ever bothered to notice them before we came along. And I had a real education about life that summer. And the city just became really important to me.
It sounds like an experience, the experience doing that community service work, which also informs V.I. Wachowski's character, in that is she like you politically?
She's certainly like me politically. I wouldn't be able to write a first-person novel. I mean, I might want to explore someone who was very different from me in outlook in a standalone book, but not someone that I'm living with probably my whole life, you know, if it's given to me to keep telling stories. She has to share my outlook on life for it to be something I can stand to keep doing. In other ways, we're very different. She's urban, and I'm still, yeah, I live in Hyde Park down by the University of Chicago, which is in the city, but no one would say that it gives you a really urban experience.
Now, it gives some impression about how your community service work has informed the character and your books. But I was struck by the decade or so that you spent in the insurance business, and by all the insurance skullduggery that seems to be going on in the V.I. Wachowski books, including Total Recall. Did you see any of this stuff happening in your work in the insurance business
or hear of it? The company I worked for, if they did anything like that, I never knew about it. But I was fortunate to be doing support work for the claims department. I was a marketing manager. And my experience is that people in law enforcement have a secret, I won't say yen to be criminals, but I've always wondered what it is that makes someone want to be a criminal versus catch criminals, because they seem fascinated with each other. And claim investigators are kind of law enforcement officers, so they'd sit around and talk about the great frauds that they'd investigated and people they'd caught, and then they'd talk about the perfect crime that they would commit it if they were going to do it themselves, and how no one would ever catch them because they'd be too savvy for it. And you'll often hear police officers or arson investigators or, you know, anyone who's doing investigative work talk about how they would commit the perfect crime. So I got a lot of, just from sitting around listening to these guys reminisce and plot their own ideas, I got a lot of just information on the kinds of crimes that are committed around insurance, which, believe me, I don't even cover half of. You know, they estimate that something like $20 billion of fraudulent fires and car accidents, car thefts every year are submitted. But you can commit a lot of crimes with insurance for in small businesses, killing your partner to collect insurance on the and collect the value of the company, and you know, just a lot of stuff not only could go on but does go on.
So it sounds like a lot of grist for the mill when it comes to writing detective novels.
Yes, and the good thing about insurance, I'm a huge baseball fan, and for my sins, I'm a Cubs fan. But I suppose a lot of people down where you are split between Cubs and Cardinals. But I figure if I set a book in the world of sports, I would make so many mistakes that my mail would be like knee-high. Whereas in insurance, if I make a mistake, nobody knows, nobody cares. Insurance people are just grateful that someone cares enough about insurance to put it in fiction so they don't write saying, well, you got this detail about policies wrong.
We're talking with Sarah Paretsky, the mystery writer and the creator of the V.I. Warchofsky novels. Her latest book is Total Recall. If you'd like to ask a question of Sarah Paretsky, call us and call 217-333-9455. That's 333-WILL if you're in Champaign-Urbana. Or call toll-free at 1-800-222-WILL. Do you hear from private detectives, and perhaps specifically female detectives, about whether or not you got details right or wrong?
I actually, when I do readings, I often meet investigators. Sometimes they're with agencies like the FBI or police, or I've even met Internal Revenue Service investigators. They tend to be the least critical of. I get a lot of email and tree mail, too. I have a website, sarahparetsky.com, where people can put up opinions or send me emails or just read about what's going on in the series. And Total Recall, I made a couple of mistakes with, there's a few sentences in German and Italian, and I thought I had them right, and I didn't. And believe me, I have had so many emails from, how can I take your work seriously? You made a mistake in German on page 7.
Already the book's been out a month and you've...
Yeah, oh yeah. And I'm thinking, oi, 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 you know, I'm always sorry when I make a mistake, but I just can't imagine being so irate with a writer about a one-sentence mistake that I'd say that this makes me discount the whole book.
I take it then you've now discovered over the years the fury of fans who feel wronged and so on.
Right. That's why I don't write about baseball. My God, that would really open the floodgates.
What sort of mysteries do you enjoy reading, especially now that you've been so involved with mechanics of writing them yourself?
You know, I used to be, as you said about yourself, reading like eating candy. That was how I read them. I'd read at least 4 mysteries a week. I don't read as many now because it's kind of like, I think it's like being a clockmaker who can't tell time because he's always looking at the works behind the clock face. But there's some kinds of books. I do not enjoy really graphic violence, and graphic violence is not present in my books. I'm more interested in how my characters respond to violence than I am in describing what happened and trying to make it as lurid and disgusting as possible. But character is the most important thing with me as a writer and as a reader. And there's an English writer, Peter Dickinson, who's, I think, an extraordinarily gifted writer and creator of amazing characters in many different situations. And he'd be right about at the top of my list of contemporary writers that I enjoy reading.
One thing I was wondering about was how you deal with continuing characters. These are now characters, many of them besides V.I. Warchofsky, but the supporting characters, too, you've been working with for, I guess, about 20 years or more now.
Yeah.
And you've had to, in the case of Lottie Herschel here in Total Recall, you went back and invented a lot of details of her life, which I suppose you weren't quite sure of in 1978. How do you keep the continuity going when you're trying to fill in all these details so that, say, if someone goes and reads Total Recall and then goes back and reads your first book, Indemnity Only, everything's going to fit?
I wish I had a good answer to that to that. I try to think about the characters seriously as people, and to try to imagine them in emotionally as opposed to just physically. I change. Hopefully, I grow. I mean, I'm 20 years older, and I hope I have deeper knowledge of myself and deeper insight into life and the world around me than I did 20 years ago. I think if people started with the series and read their way all the way through, they'd find that the books do become deeper, and Total Recall in particular, that the earlier books were much more just story, and that over time I began filling in, as you say, Jim, the background and more aspects of the characters' lives. Some of that, of course, is because I have to come up with a new story idea, and the past is a fertile country to delve into. I don't set books in the past. Total Recall has some flashbacks to the 1940s, but the action is all contemporary. But, of course, V.I. has relatives who pop up, or she's been involved with maybe she, in one book, she's on the board of a domestic violence shelter. So different parts of her life will come into focus for me as I'm struggling to think of a new story. The book that I'm working on now, or that I'd better get to work on sometime very soon, I'm thinking that one of her law school professors from when she was at the University of Chicago Law School back in the late 70s will play a role in the book.
Is there, with these characters that you've been working with for so long, is there sort of an instinctive feeling of what they would and would not do or say?
Total Recall is actually my way of trying to work out why Lottie Herschel acted the way that she did. So about 10 years ago, I began thinking, she's so brusque. She keeps people in a way at arm's length. You know, she's very close to V.I. She looks after V.I. when the detective gets beaten up. But she's always angry with her for risking her life. And, you know, she patches her up, but not in a nice, loving, kindly way. And I began thinking, why is she angry this way? And what's going on with her? And then, for people who want to read the book, I don't want to give away the secrets, but I realized that she had a particular secret that she had been sitting on, and that that she had done some things in the 40s just because of the pain of having lost her whole family in the Holocaust, in the war in Europe. In 1938 and 39, the British sort of opened their doors, and they let in 10,000 Jewish children from Central and Eastern Europe. Nobody could have foreseen what lay 6 years in the future. They didn't allow any parents to come because the Depression was so severe. They had 40% unemployment. They just didn't want to bring in a whole lot of adults when they couldn't find work for people at home. And nobody imagined that these kids would end up living there and that their parents would all die and so on and so forth. They thought it was a short-term solution. But I have Lottie and her younger brother coming to London as part of that, what was called the Kindertransport, the children's transport. And then that period, so she's in London, she's living with a cousin who's a very mean-spirited woman, and then she finds out that her beloved family has all died, and that desolation, she acted out of that sense of desolation and pain and did some things that she's never wanted to talk about. So for 10 years, I was mulling that over, and then finally decided I really needed to write it down.
It seems strange, and I don't know why it should seem strange, that a character whose personality you have pretty well set, that you should be the one who creates a character, and then you have to think hard to figure out why they act that way.
Right. It sounds as though I don't know what I'm doing, doesn't it?
But it's in some ways it's a lot like he really had a full-fledged person going there.
Well, I think as in some ways early in my writing, I just wrote to meet the needs of the storyline I was telling. And in some ways, I mean, I think that the things that anyone writes, certainly in fiction, and probably the choices you make in nonfiction too, but very much in fiction, characters behave in ways that come out of your experience of life. And maybe my experience of life was not being treated seriously enough, or having problems and issues and not having them attended to, and feeling that people pushed me away. So my unconscious level, I'm creating characters who keep pushing VI away. Well, then time goes by, and you start thinking, well, this is supposed to be the most important person in her life. Why is she doing it? So I think early on, I wasn't thinking maybe about myself and by extension about the characters that I was writing. Now I work a lot more slowly just because, I guess because I'm thinking more deeply about character. I think I was just reading a biography of Dashiell Hammett over the weekend, and an old one that's been out for 20 years. And Hammett says at one point that you stop writing after you realize that you have a style. He said, you know, first you're just mastering your craft, and then suddenly you realize you have a style, and then you can't write anymore.
You published a novel 3 years ago, which I guess is your only novel out that is not a V.I. Warshawski novel or a detective novel, as far as I know. I haven't completed it yet, but Ghost Country. I take it was a departure from the Warshawski novels.
Yeah, very much so.
What was writing that book like?
It was exciting and it was frightening. I had a particular story that I wanted to tell, and it wasn't one that would work well in the VI series. My publishers, rather reluctantly, but they did agree to publish something out of the series. And then I kept thinking, oh my God, I've lost my mind. I've abandoned the girl detective, and now I'm getting punished for it because I don't know what I'm doing. But I really enjoyed making a stretch and trying something so very different. The book was kind of suggested. I serve on the community advisory board of a group called Thresholds, which provides transitional shelter and therapy and job training for the mentally ill homeless in Chicago. And one of the area directors was telling me one day in great frustration about a psychotic man who had tried to kill himself, tried to jump off the top of the State of Illinois building, and because he thought he was a chicken and he could fly, and paramedics had taken him to one of the area hospitals where they wouldn't admit him because he didn't have any insurance. And they said that the fact that he ate out of garbage cans proved that he knew how to look after himself. Anyway, the Thresholds director that I was talking to said he kept imagining Jesus coming back, and, you know, Jesus talks to God, God talks back to him. So by our definition, that makes him pretty crazy. So someone would take him to the hospital for medicating, and then he'd be turned away because he wouldn't have a green card. And that kind of stuck with me, and I wrote a book that, in a way, is sort of about that happening, only in a very different kind of way.
Did writing, the experience of writing that, has that affected the books you've written since then?
I wrote two VI novels after I published Ghost Country, Hard Time and Total Recall, and I really think they're my best work, those two books. I think that going away from VI helped me come back to her with a fresh eye, and that there's another book that's not in the series, actually, that I've been doing a little work on. And I think the more I can do that isn't in the series, the better the series will be.
So the series itself is not something you're never going to have V.R. Wachowski go over the falls like Sherlock Holmes or something like that.
Actually, at the end of the last book I wrote before Ghost Country was Tunnel Vision, and I was really getting kind of despairing. I was feeling like I was locked in this box with V.I. and couldn't get out. And so the very last page, I have her looking for at travel brochures to Reichenbach Falls, which is where Sherlock Holmes disappears. Only one reader of all the thousands of letters I've gotten in the years since then, only one reader has ever commented on this.
Are you do you feel more comfortable with the Wachowski character now than you did at that particular point in Tunnel Vision?
Yes, because I feel that I can do other things and that I'm not just what we used to call in Kansas a one-trick pony.
There was a V.R. Wachowski movie a few years ago with Kathleen Turner. Were you happy with that film?
Well, to be brutally honest, no. I was pretty unhappy. I was happy that they made the movie because the money that they paid me, although it wasn't a great deal of money, it did let me quit my day job, and it was getting harder and harder for me to find time to write as my work got more demanding.
So you were essentially a part-time writer, it looks like, throughout a lot of the 1980s?
That's right. I was a full-time marketing manager, and I was on the road 2 weeks a month, and it was in the early days of automation, and we were trying to get in agents to automate, and a lot of them were very resistant because that meant that they would have to learn how to type, and typing was girls' work. You know, it was a funny time to be. It's funny to look back because it's so close in number of years, and it's so far in terms of just the changes in business.
Does this feel like the life you want to have now, being a full-time writer, devoting yourself to this nonstop?
Yes, although it was a hard decision to quit my day job. People always think it's easy, but writing, you're alone a lot of the time, and I miss the camaraderie of the workplace. You know, you can do volunteer work or join choruses or do these things, but it doesn't take the place of a milieu where you're with people on a regular basis and part of each other's lives.
Sarah Paretsky is the author of Total Recall, the newest novel in the V.I. Wachowski series. Tom Nolan of the Wall Street Journal writes, V.I.'s social consciousness in this book is as bracing as ever, as is the realistic depiction of the fatigue and pain suffered in the course of her work. The most affecting aspect of the book, though, is Lottie's recollection of her youth in London, whose besieged citizens were united in a determination not to succumb to the terror of bombs. And it's Total Recall is out from Delacorte Press. This is V.I. Wachowski novel number 10, and you expect to do a few more before you're done.
I hope so. In the very first book, Indemnity Only, V.I. has an affair with an insurance man named Ralph Devereaux. And just for my sort of private entertainment, because this is the 10th book in the series and the 20th anniversary of the series, I brought Ralph back. And in Indemnity Only, he gets shot in the left shoulder. He doesn't believe V.I. knows what she's talking about. Actually, I was going to kill him, but my tender-hearted husband flung himself between Ralph and the bullet, so it went into his shoulder instead. So in Total Recall, the 10th book, I bring poor Ralph back, and he gets shot in the right shoulder. And I'm thinking, well, if I live long enough to write the 20th book in the series, I'll have to wheel poor old Ralph out again, although I don't know where he can be shot and still walk away from it.
Well, I'll certainly be looking forward to the next one. Sarah Paretsky, I'm afraid we're out of time, but thank you very much for taking the hour to talk with us here in the Afternoon Magazine.
I enjoyed it, Jim. Thanks a lot.